Remote control gadget. Using the toilet and turn the channel on in the next room. We've been led backwards. We've been led against the grain of intelligence. And this world we call America and its leadership is responsible for us regressing in our intellect. Now we have to progress our intellect with our own hands. We can't expect them to give us a hand. They don't know how to give us a hand. They are part of the same sickness that we are under. They don't know how to help us. And they've been free to do what they want to so long until they think this is the end of the road. Do you know what some of them are doing? What many of them are doing? Oh, this is it. The end is here. Elijah was right. America's doomed. I believe that spook was a prophet. America's doomed. Yeah, they're throwing their hands up. And those who have been manipulating the minds of both ignorant Caucasians and Belalians, they're going away and putting that stake somewhere else. Planting that stake in Europe somewhere, a new nook on the globe for their exploits. Are they planting it in some other country? They carry their business out of America somewhere else. They take their money out of American banks to some other bank, to foreign banks. America is losing the people who have been responsible for the growth of America's economy. They're losing them. And the few that have remained behind and accepted to just stay here in America, keep their investment in America, and weather it out, those few now don't have any hope. The dim picture is too much for them to stand. Too much for them to stand up to. Yes. So they say, oh, what is going to happen? Now, I make these talks. Don't be frightened at them. There was a plan to turn America into a communist state. Here was the plan. The plan was to just push production and buy nothing. Respect nothing. Do you think that scientists didn't tell them that all of these automobiles is going to eventually create a breathing problem for human beings? You think they didn't know that? They knew it. Do you think they didn't know that industry, at the rate they were pushing industry to produce material goods, that wasn't going to pollute the air, the water, and the land? Do you think they didn't know that? They knew it. They're scientists. They knew that. And if you think they didn't know the crowding of the people in the city, stacking people on top of each other, pushing people all together, wasn't going to work to destroy their natural human balance? If you think they didn't know that, you're wrong. They knew it. They knew these conditions were going to work to dehumanize the people in the inner cities who would suffer these dehumanizing conditions. They knew that the atmosphere, the environment, was going to be polluted and poisoned. They knew that they were going to rush to a point wherein they couldn't continue and they had to draw back or go somewhere else. They knew that. They were moving full steam ahead. And they weren't worried about what the end would be. Oh, yeah, oh, how can you say that? Dear beloved people, there are those in the leadership who are human, and there are those who are not human. There are those who just mechanically operate, mechanically run their affairs in the world, so that they will always be in the controlling seat and have all the advantages and be free to dole out a little bit to those that they choose to dole out something to. We have the kind of beasts in society who have been running things and had a great part of this country and who have been deciding the future of this country. They have been doing this. And they knew where this country was coming to. And they planned. But when we reach that point, we are going to bring in a communist rule. We're going to bring in a communist dictatorship. How did they plan to bring it in? Brother Imam, where you get this from? You're not quoting any facts. Every thief or every criminal that's convicted, is he convicted on the strength of facts that's quoted? Many times he's convicted on the strength of circumstantial evidence. Well, I have that if you have the patience to get it. Plan was to turn this into a communist country. I will give you quickly some events, some turns in our history as American people that if you would just open your mind to the ramifications, to the ramification of these things that happened, you would understand that they didn't have in mind to preserve the American way of life as it was dreamed up. Not so long ago, a top man in Christianity published an article in one of the America's popular magazines. On the front page, it read, "God is dead." They knew that many people would read that and wouldn't read go into the article, go into the magazine. People don't go into, you don't take the time. But more people read, "God is dead," than read the article. Not long behind that, the decision came from the Supreme Court to take the name of God, prayer, out of the school, out of public school. Yes. Behind that came a constant deterioration of Christian culture in America. What do I mean by Christian culture? There was a time in my life, I'm not an old man, there was a time in my life when there was a Christian, an obvious presence of Christian conscience in America. If you spoke disrespectfully of God, you drew upon yourself the scorn of the people who heard you speak that way. Even criminals would check you for speaking disrespectful of God. In my lifetime, Not church people alone, but people who didn't identify with church. Criminals would check you if you spoke disrespectfully of God. Criminals would check you if you spoke disrespectfully of Jesus. Yes. People were offended if you attacked God, if you attacked things that they held sacred. But even more important than that, they had principles to go along with that belief in God. They believed that a human being was a moral creature. They believed that a human being was a child of God, as the Christians used to say. And they believed that a human being had standards to live up to. And that if a human being gave up his moral principles, gave up his human standards, he wasn't fit to be called a human being. That kind of principle, that kind of religious thinking in the general American population has gone. You will find now a majority standing on your side, defending your so-called freedom and right to speak disrespectfully of God or Jesus, the prophets, the scriptures. If you want to get support, do the unethical thing. Do the immoral thing. Oh, and you get support. Say, oh, what do you mean that he doesn't have the right to be a homosexual? He's free. This is a democracy. He has the right to be a homosexual if he wants to. Say, all right. Look, I'm not making a big fuss about him being a homosexual. Say, I just don't like he's walking naked. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that, sucker? He has a right to go naked if he wants to. But he's walking naked out here in the public, and he's offending my wife is seeing, and my children. He's offended. This is a free country. That's his body. He should have control of his own body. They make you feel abnormal, you know. So you got a gay right, all kind of rights. And believe me, that if this thing continues, but we got our work going pretty good now. I don't think it will. But if it could continue, there'd be rights for those that want to masturbate in public. I have the right to masturbate in public. I'm free. This is my penis. And this is my hand, my fist. This is my Vaseline. I didn't get it from nobody else, sucker. I have the right to masturbate in public. What I'm saying is this. Once you blindly accept immoral, indecent behavior, it leads to more and more extremes. And finally, the society will become a Jahiliya society, like that society that was existing in Arabia when Prophet Muhammad came upon the scene. There were people who were conducting what they called a holy ritual. But they were parading around the Kaaba in the nude. Now, don't think we can't come to the same. Because the same devilish forces that when they get through with the world, they tear it up and throw it away, they are still living, they are still operating. And they will tear up America and throw it away. I mean, they will tear up our humanity. They'll tear up our civilization. They'll tear up our moral thinking and throw it away and turn us into a nothing but a big, big field of savages with no decency whatsoever if we accept leadership from on top. Yes. Look. Dear beloved people, when a society loses its moral base, when it loses its moral thinking, is on the way to total destruction as a civilization. No hope for it. The only hope for human society, human civilization, is to keep moral thinking in the society. Because human is by description a moral creature. That's what makes him human. He's a moral creature. He just doesn't behave any kind of way. He has a conscience to check his behavior. He has limits that he puts upon himself. He restrains himself because he has a sense of dignity and respect for himself. He values himself. He sees himself on a platform that is honorable, dignified. Once he loses that vision or that upward look at himself, at his own essence as a creature, and see himself as just having no special form, as being free to become anything, he becomes anything. And when you got people who want to use him because he will not use himself, there is a double danger then that he will soon become the lowest of all creatures on this earth. Because they're going to work hard at it. There's a new market. Don't you know immorality is a big market? A big market. You sell everything you can to people who are moral. Okay, they have no more need. You sold them everything they need. So how are you going to keep selling? We need a market of immoral people now. If it's not a big enough market, you have to make more people immoral. That's what has happened in this country. We don't have a problem of inflation. We have a problem of inflated appetites. And the appetites have been unnaturally inflated to accommodate the greed of a few great wealthy people on top, who decide what party will be the leader for the next 4 years. Yes, we don't decide whether they're going to be Democrats or Republicans. Forces beyond our control decide that. We just lend our support to what they want anyway. We already decided that this is what we want. Some people are wondering now, who will come into the presidency? Who will be the next president? Will it be Jimmy Carter? Will it be Reagan? Will it be the independents? Who will be the next president? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Jimmy Carter will be the next president. And let me tell you why. We are in the majority. Our poor majority is bigger than their rich minority. Too many of them have left America and have established their interests somewhere else. So it's not enough of them left back here in America to deal with us if we unite. You see? So don't worry, President Jimmy Carter will continue to be president. The thing to worry about is who is your email. That's the thing to worry about. Because in the distant future, what really works to bring about a better America for all of us is going to come about on the ground level. What they call the grassroots. Oh, yes. I don't like that term grassroots because I know the symbolism behind it. I'm not the leader of the grassroots. Grassroots are for sheep. Yeah, they eat the top of the grass and the roots. The grass roots are for seeds. I'm not a seed. No grassroots. You know what? You know that's it is so. They call the masses grassroots. See, they have identified people with things growing. You know, so there are some people that's grassroots. There are some people that's bushroots. Some people vine roots. Some people strong oak tree roots. See, and the grass makes a nice, comfortable ground, doesn't it? For those walking on it. Yeah. It's a nice green carpet for people to walk on, the grass. Even animals walk on the grass. Unless you put a fence up saying, no animals allowed on this grass. Or you put some poison on the grass to keep the animals off. The grassroots. And another thing we should observe, that when a big tree grows over grass, grass dies under that tree. The only way grass can live under a big tree is that the sun has to shine in a way to carry the shadow of that tree back and forth. But if that tree is situated where it saves the grass, for most of the time the sun is up, grass dies under that tree. And some trees, their branches are so low that the shade never goes completely from the surrounds of the tree. So that grass dies under that tree. And that's the same way the grassroots are. They're under the big rich people, and they're just overcome, they're overwhelmed by the power of the rich. And some of them are just, they just die. They don't even survive. They just die under those big trees. So I'm no grassroots. No, I'm no grassroots. I'm a mountain leveler. My business is leveling mountains. So the earth will be level, plain, like the Quran said it would be. Oh, so you want to misinterpret this now. Muslims believe in a society that guarantees with all the forces within its power equal opportunity and justice for all the people. You might say, how come they don't have that in Muslim society? It is because Arabia was too small for that big Quran that I carry. It wasn't meant to be carried by Arabia. It was meant to be carried by the world. Allah expanded the vision in the mind of Prophet Muhammad because he earned it. But his mind was far too big for his people. And he predicted that my people will go to sleep. And you know who he had to wake them up? Bilal. Bilal was the caller to prayer. I hope I don't wear your patience out too much. I'm holding this watch. That should tell you that I don't want to hold you too long. Do you think Bilal was chosen by Prophet Muhammad to be the Mu'ezzin and to wake the people up in the morning for Fajr prayer? just because he had a good voice for it. Or just because he... Look, the man kept that job for the whole time. He never lost it. He never lost that job. If he was just picked like that, looked like he would have picked somebody else. Like somebody else would have come into that place. I said, oh, okay, Bilal, you'll help this job now. 10 years. Let's give the other brother a chance. Let's give Syrian a chance. Or let's give the Persian a chance. No, Bilal kept that job. It never was given to anybody else. Let me tell you something else. Now, don't look at Bilal as a person now. Bilal is a sign. Bilal is just a sign that Prophet Muhammad used, and God inspired him to use Bilal to speak something to the mind of the world. And we have inherited it. In one of his conversations, according to the hadith, he said to his companions that were standing with him, while Bilal was also there, who was also a companion of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, may Allah be pleased with his companions, he said, we all are Bilal. He said, we all are Bilal. Now, don't forget that, but let us keep moving. There is also another hadith where Prophet Muhammad said, I heard some sandals walking in paradise. He said, they were walking ahead of me. He said, do you know whose sandals they were? Bilal. Now, you might say, oh, what are you trying to say with this? Are you trying to say that Bilal is ahead of Prophet Muhammad? No. Bilal is ahead of Arabs. Bilal is ahead of Arabs. We in the front, they're walking behind. My hearing has gotten so good I can even hear the things people say to themselves. And I just heard somebody say, you don't know the interpretation of that. I know what you understand, and I know what I'm talking about. Bilal, oh, he's spooky. He can hear thoughts. No, no, no. It's not spooky. But when people talk loud to you inside, if you have a sensitive ear inside, you can hear what they're saying. If they don't talk real loud to me, I can't hear. But if they talk real loud to me, I can hear. So let's understand Bilal, what he represents as a sign speaking to the racist mentality of the world and speaking to the religious arrogance of non-African and non-Bilalian people. What he says to our mission right now, that's what we want to understand. What Bilal as a sign says to our mission right now in America. Again, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, marched into Arabia victoriously with 10,000 fearless soldiers, did he call? But Bilal. He said, Bilal, go on top of the Kaaba and make adhan. He didn't say, go on top of the minbar. He didn't say, stand on top of that orange crate. Or that stool and make adhan. He said, go on top of the Kaaba and make adhan. That's what he told Bilal to do. You think that's not significant? You think that's not important? That a man from Africa who had fallen into slavery under the heathen Arab people before al-Islam, that man from African ancestry falling into the hands of those people as a slave and being strong enough even while being suppressed to declare his faith in one Allah, that's not meaningful for us in America today? How can you think that way? Why, if the Jews had some kind of figure like that in their past, that figure would become the inspiration for all Jews. Yes, if the Irish had a figure like that in their past, that figure would become the inspiration for all Irish. Only a people who have been totally uprooted from their natural growth in the life of humanity could hear that about an ancestor and not be moved. That the leader of 1 billion people chose the Bilal of your own ethnic ancestry, chose Bilal, a member of your flesh, who had fallen into slavery under another people, and declared his faith in one God, and was willing to suffer torture and death rather than to give up the moral principle that God asked him to hold on to. Oh, brother and sister, this is not a mission for Muslims in America. This is a mission for everybody in America. And the leadership of this mission is not one to be claimed by us because we are Muslims. It's one to be claimed by us because we are the figure, the future figure, that Bilal spoke to. Yes, in his symbol, or in his message as a symbol, as a figure, he speaks to us today. And he's not speaking to us who have become converted, who have accepted al-Islam. He's speaking to everyone that was brought from Africa to these shores and made a slave. And any of you, whether you be Christian, a black Jew, or atheist, I don't care what you are, there's a moral obligation on you to identify with this Bilalian people here we call Muslims in America. How am I morally obligated, Brother Imam? It's no accident that Bilal, in his history, speaks so clearly to us in our history. That's no accident. That's no accident that Prophet Muhammad chose that man to be the caller to the faith of al-Islam and chose that man to wake people up from their beds. His specific role was to wake people up from their beds. Bilal was duty-bound to go to sleep at a certain time in the night so he would be able to wake up and call the Fajr prayer. Fajr prayer means the breaking of the light, the dawning of the light. that time that ushered the people into the light, that ushered the sleepers out of their bed to their job. Yes. The one who called the prayer in the morning, he awakes the people to their, not only to their consciousness, he awakes them to their responsibility. Yes. When you wake up in the morning, you wake up not only to be awakened, you wake up to get busy. Allah says he made the night for rest and the day for activity. Oh, yes. So Bilal was chosen for that. Bilal was chosen for that. And he said Bilal went ahead of him in the paradise. And he said, we all are Bilal. Here is the answer, what Bilal represents. Bilal represents the Muslim conscience. He represents the God-given human conscience. Not an artificial spirituality. Not a pie-in-the-sky view of the world, or sky-bound view of heaven. No, not that. Allah's heaven encompasses everything. Allah says in the Quran, the paradise, the extent of it, is the extent of the heavens and the earth. So we don't believe in no paradise that's up and not everywhere. Oh, is this paradise then where we are right now? Yes, in this life, you were introduced to it. Yes, we're introduced to it. And in the next life, we don't expect for it to be up there. Geographically speaking, speaking in terms of the cosmic dimensions, no. We expect for it to be everywhere. Everywhere. We don't expect for it to be limited to spiritual aspirations only. We expect it, that it will accommodate the total hopes and aspirations of the human creature. How can that be if it's not material? In your dream, aren't your material appetites satisfied? Haven't you been hungry, but you ate and enjoyed the dinner in your dream? Oh, and you're talking about a dream state. No, I'm talking about a real state, but the dream is only a sign of it. Some dreams are so real, you feel tired. You're running in your dream. And you wake up out of the dream, your foot haven't moved a peg, but you're tired. So if that kind of experience can have such an effect on the physical, then don't say something is impossible for the Allah who made everything. He created everything, and he made those experiences real and possible for us. So don't say, oh, he can't give me a paradise wherein I will be able to realize all my aspirations, all my hopes. Why, I would like to have a nice vehicle. You never had one? If you die, you'll get one. Oh, man, you are way out. I can die and get me a ride? Certainly, if that's what you want, if that's honorable and acceptable with God, if that's what you want, you can die and get you a ride. Yes. But here is the catch. If you rush that process up, you will be evading your responsibilities here. And that will cut you out of the blessings there. Right here is the ticket, baby. Here's where you get the ticket to there. So if you leave this great mission of the people, common people of America and the world, to bring respect and justice to the common person. Buddy, when you get there, say, well, I came for my ride. I have no sins against me, Allah.
I could obey. I'm a good person. I'm sure my good greatly outweigh my bad. I came for my ride. The imam said I could die and get me a ride. Hey, where you all taking me? This don't look like the red rate of my ride.
Say, how could you walk out on the imam? How could you walk out on the suffering people of the world? How could you leave your responsibility to help better conditions in the world for people, for yourself and others? How could you leave that and come up here just for your ride? Say, there's your ride. I didn't ask for a chariot of fire. It ain't even got no cool spot in it. Brothers and sisters, let's get back to the lounge. The Kaaba and its symbol, it represents the original pattern of human nature and development. Bilal in his symbol represents the original conscience that evolved out of that original nature. If your mind stays true to your nature, then out of that original nature will become a Muslim mind, an original mind that is true to its original nature. It doesn't want the material thing. If it means losing its dignity as a moral creature, it will suffer the loss of the material thing to retain its original nature. It will suffer even torture and death before it give up its original nature. That conscience, that alive thinking in us that will not allow our original self as we see ourselves with our moral eyes open to be twisted out of normal form and turn into a material monster or into a flunky just serving the greed, the appetites of others so it can get a few crumbs. No, before we accept that, we die. We suffer any torture. Die. Yes. That's if your mind is true to the nature Allah made in you. The Kaaba represents that nature. The soul that was in Bilal, that Prophet Muhammad saw in Bilal, represents that conscience. What was he saying then to the world in choosing Bilal to be his mu'ezzin? Mu'ezzin comes from a word meaning to give attention to something. Give attention to something. So if your mind is over here, if I want to get your mind over here, I use the verb from that word saying, give your attention over here. You see? So adhan calls your attention to your obligation as a Muslim. And the one who makes that adhan, he's called mu'ezzin from the same word. Adhan is sta'zin, that means paying attention. Adhan means calling the people's attention to something. Mu'ezzin is the noun, the one who makes the adhan. So Bilal was chosen as the one who called the people's attention to their daily responsibilities. And his specific role was to awake their attention, to awake their attention to their daily responsibilities, to wake them up out of their sleep, to wake them up from the darkness. Now, dear brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad said, my ummah, my people will go to sleep. And he didn't leave us wondering what kind of sleep they would fall under. He said, the downfall of people have been by various circumstances. The downfall of my people is the love for wealth. Greed. This is a saying of Prophet Muhammad.
So what? He told us they would fall, they would go to sleep, and he told us why they would go to sleep. Their appetite for the material things would cause them to go to sleep. Who did he say in his sign, in picking Belial, who did he say would survive that? The descendants of the African people. Who would be brought from Africa and put in bondage to another people who did not believe in this religion. And under that people, they would be so strong, even while denied freedom and being mistreated and tortured,